Blog Talk Radio. Come get this teaching arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Well, we've taken our music to another place, somewhere out there in the middle of space. Busting out with lines of ebonics, reducing ourselves to a level of demonics, when we can be pushing albums that flaunt it. Instead, we choose to front it. Well, we don't take without giving back. We do this in order to circumvent lack. It's a fact. It's the principle of reciprocity in act. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Well, we've gone from paying some dues to singing someone else's blues. We can't continue to allow ourselves to be used. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. We went from segregated to integrated to miseducated, now to reeducated. It's time. It's time. We've been dedicated before we soon regret it. Put down the pipes. Lift up your heads and let's possess the mics. For we're taking this music to a brand new height. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Once rendered mute, unable to use the words of our own pursuit. We've got a brand new vocabulary at our disposal. While we're not even writing our own proposals. While the stories of the ghetto hood unfold, of the coming one to be foretold. Didn't you know it? That it's our time now to manufacture our own flavor of rhyme. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Let's take the message to a higher ground, like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. Well, we don't have time for fooling around. Let's take the beat. Let's take the beat where we can all get down, where we can all get down. Knowledge and truth is what the people want to hear in this critical time of living in fear. Let's possess the stage like the coming of the new millennium age. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Now I'll ask you, are you the one? Or is there another to come to take this music to a high level? And if you aren't, then come get this teaching and give it to those who I'm not reaching.
Welcome to Care to Read. You have your advocate here, Omiika, and your advisor, who you need, Omiika 7. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. We've been on a series of exploring various different topics, and our topic for this particular segment is on mind, body, soul, and spirit. And as you know, as always, we acknowledge those in the audience, those elders who might be there, asking them for permission to give us the ability to speak, because we know that the uninitiate has no business speaking unless the elder has approved him. We also acknowledge our ancestors in this room to let them know that we've invited the spirit in to be a part. We are a spiritual group of people, and we have to acknowledge those things. We like to also say that this program has been underwritten by Project 2019. Project 2019's mission is to close the gap of disparity and to make sure that education is made available for those who might be illiterate, who need to find remediation in reading, for those who might need knowledge and finding resource on educational disparities, on understanding alternative health measures. And we try to provide that under the Family Life Education, which is a consumer science program. I'm a consumer science major, and in offering these home economic programs, it allows me to visit all of the areas of the family. And once again, I'd like to thank you for joining us And if you don't have that number locked in on your radio station, you might want to go and lock that number in, 646-478-0270. And once again, this is the Care to Read show, and we do have a guest in the audience this evening, ladies and gentlemen. And our guest this evening that we've invited is Stephen Lewis. Stephen Lewis is a rather interesting gentleman who I found to be very, very noteworthy in interviewing. He's done some great things, and one of the great things I think he did was he became the CEO and founder of the Energetic Matrix Church of Consciousness. And I think that is an excellent thing because we do need more conscious movements out there. And he's also founded and written a lot of materials, and one of his books is called Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness. We're so proud of Stephen for venturing out there in the area of energy. I have been engaged in working with energy. I'm a Reiki Healer 1 and have been very, very interested in understanding how energy and frequencies are used. That is part of the reason why he's on our show this evening, because he is an expert in that field. And we are going to welcome him. And we have my host is in the audience, my co-host, and I'm going to ask him to come in and just say hello. His name is Terrell Garth. Are you out there?
Yes. Here. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, Terrell. Terrell Garth is one of our co-hosts. He's been working with me on Care to Read. And I think we need to have a balance in all things that we do with the female and the male, the yin and the yang. And ladies and gentlemen, if you would just pause with me for 1 minute here so that we can make sure we get all of our house cleaning out of the way. And then we're going to bring our speaker back on so he can be in the air to talk with us and tell us more about what it is he does. Hold for a second for station identification.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comfy. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out this door. I'll be sure. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on Care to Read. Once again, that phone number is 646-478-0770. Correction, 478-0270. Please tune that number in and give us a call.
Yes, welcome to Care to Read. Please call in with questions to speak with our evening guest. His name is Stephen Lewis of EMC from Energetic Matrix Church of Consciousness.
Yes, once again, Stephen, welcome. And we do have some prepared questions, Stephen, to ask you. And if you don't mind, I'd like to pose those questions for you now and bring you in the atmosphere. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be putting Stephen on the mic, and he'll be in the atmosphere. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, this is Sherelle.
Yes, this is Sherelle.
Okay.
Well, how are you?
I didn't get the gentleman's name, but I'm fine. How are you, Sherelle?
I'm just fine. And, Stephen, I have a couple of questions that are prepared for you to ask you about your new book. And as you know, we are an agency that works with bringing about the disparity of closing the gap of reading good material and good books. And your book came recommended very highly to us, The Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness. And I think that it would be probably fitting to talk to you a little bit about your book and also to let the listening audience know that we always introduce to them a book that we would like to have them read. And I'm going to recommend your book this evening, Stephen, if they could write down the name of it. The name of that book, again, is Sanctuary, the Path to Consciousness, right? Is that correct, Stu?
That is correct. Sanctuary, the Path to Consciousness.
Okay. And possibly at the end, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give some information about where you can actually find that book on his website. And because we are encouraging literacy in children and families, we have always made sure that you had good books to read to your children. And I'd like to stop right now, and I want to bring Stephen on so we can talk about a little bit about how he decided to start a church and why he wrote the book. So, Stephen, could you possibly tell me, for the reader who may not know who you are, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with energy healing, and what even brought you into the understanding that this is something that you can do in a church setting?
Well, as a matter of fact, it's really about spirituality, Sherelle. And healing is what we help people do. And I use those terms specifically. All healing is spiritual. Now, that's as opposed to diagnosing and treating and hopefully curing, which are good things, to be sure. But they are done to you. Healing is something only you do. Only you can heal yourself. However, there's an infinity of help available in helping you heal yourself. And as I said, it's spiritual, and that is why we are EMC squared. And, of course, it's homage to Albert Einstein, who my field fundamentally is subtle energy physics, and that's what I do. And physics basically has to do with consciousness. I mean, you may say it's energy, but, you know, everything is energy. It's correct. But you can't say anything about energy. It doesn't have any property. It doesn't have any smell
now,
or taste.
I got a question to ask you, though, Stephen.
Yeah.
You know, when I was taking biology and chemistry, one of the things that we were taught is that energy could never die. It could not be recreated. It could only be dissipated, meaning it could go in the atmosphere and keep its frequency, and even until the grave, it would vibrate. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's fundamentally Newtonian. And it's true. All energy is eternal. However, that doesn't do you any good if you don't disappear. You physically are no longer here on this planet. The fact that you will come back in some other lifetime, that's well and good, and that's obviously a spiritual statement. However, we feel that you are the result not of energy, but of consciousness. You see, all energy, energy has no property, as I was saying. It's just the raw material. It's like saying you're made out of stuff. Well, what makes some stuff different than other stuff? And the interesting thing about it, Sherelle, is it is you. It is consciousness that shapes this raw material energy. That's the good news and the bad news, because
what about the controversy? There's been some newfound information and a little bit of controversy over whether or not that there is something behind the actual atom, and if that's really what causes us to be considered as a being, and maybe an infinite, maybe it might have not even been an atom or the energy. It might have just been something that came out of nothingness.
Well, I think
you know
there
what I'm saying?
Is. Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I think there is. However, that is the world of spirit and spirituality. In other words, you can't tell me about a human being by describing simply his chemicals or his atoms. You can't tell me about a pet by describing electrons, protons, neutrons, or anything else. You can tell me about someone by describing that person's consciousness. Consciousness is in the realm of the spiritual. Consciousness is what you might call God. If you want to call it God, I won't argue. If you want to call it something else, go for it. But consciousness is what makes people distinct and unique. Consciousness
exactly,
is what
Stephen. Exactly. And that's what I was getting at. I was getting at that very thing. We forget about that we are being having an earthly experience, but what makes us unique is our consciousness. And then when you decide to pose this the book itself, why did you write Sanctuary, and what's in a name, and how did you derive at the name Sanctuary?
Well, Sanctuary has a very simple meaning. It is protection. It is a place of safety. And the only safety we have is the safety of our consciousness. You see, Sherelle, consciousness creates everything in our lives. It takes energy and shapes it, for better or for worse. I mean, just as it can create ecstasy and joy, it can create misery, depression, and cancer. It can create well-being, ill-being. It creates everything about us. In other words, everything I was taught as a kid was flat out totally wrong. You know, and it's interesting. I was taught that, well, you have to hope to get lucky, and if you get unlucky, you go to try and find somebody who can fix what's wrong. If they can't, you're in deep whatever. Well, that's
now,
not
would you
true.
Say that it's safe, would it be safe to say that that everything that we are going to create in this lifetime, it's going to be invented out of our consciousness and nothing else?
Consciousness shapes energy into everything about our lives, individually and collectively. And so, that's the good news and the bad news. If you take your consciousness and shape some kind of misery, that's the bad news. If you shape some kind of joy and well-being, it's the good news. Now, that can be extended, because suppose you have something about you don't like and don't want. What that means is, with your consciousness, you can change that which you don't like and don't want.
I'm going to ask you to pause for 1 second here, and we're going to bring our other listener in, if you don't mind, Stephen.
Sure, go right ahead.
Hello, listener, how are you? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? I don't see his hand, so we'll just let him in case he wants to talk. Go right ahead, Stephen, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, well, you have to ask me a question. I'll answer it. How's that?
Okay.
I don't know
exactly what I wanted to know is that I know that in the year 2012, when they speak of the fact that we're coming to an end of this dispensation, I understand that we're going into Scorpio and Sagittarius, so it's making, the Earth and the solar system is going to be lining up. And the thing that's happening with human beings is that we're being asked to come into a new consciousness, a right standing consciousness. And if we are coming into that right consciousness, then we are going to have a problem existing in a new millennium. And so in essence, I was thinking that that world is ending as we know it, but not physically ending. Can you speak on that or reference to
I can, Sherelle. But first, you've got to understand what consciousness is. And very simply, to me, consciousness is the degree to which you perceive your connection to everything and everyone in the universe. And conversely, of course, unconsciousness is the degree to which you don't know you're connected to anything. Now, I believe that what you're talking about in the year 2012, I believe it's basically here. The question is that of perception. What will it take for people to get it, see it? And that is, we have no hope for survival unless we live in a higher state of consciousness. That is the message of this millennium. And I think that...
I like that, Steve. That's great.
We brought that on ourselves. In other words, you know, we're living in a world right now, Cheryl, where everything is kind of characterized by isolation and exclusion. And the reality is we're in all this crap together. There are no chosen people. We're in this together. Mm-hmm. We need each other. That is
absolutely
the essence of consciousness, and that is what we must perceive. And people
If you were to recommend to our listening audience about how they can quickly obtain this consciousness, what would be a couple of directions for them to become more conscious so that we can meet this 2012 being prepared?
Well, first of all, in using your consciousness, there is help available. And help is available. What we do at EMC Squared is help. But, you know, that's one kind of help. There's help available almost everywhere. I mean, let me give you an example, Cheryl. Have you read about people who are in hospice? They're supposedly transitioning.
Yeah.
And they're given a puppy
yeah.
or a kitten to ease that transition. You've heard of that, right?
Yes, I have.
Well, some of them have made what are can only be called miraculous recoveries. Now, am I saying, for example, that puppies or kittens can cure cancer? No, they can get cancer. However, for some people, this is the first instance of unconditional love in their lives. Now, if we change the question to, do you believe love is a powerful in healing cancer or anything else? Most people would say, yes, I believe unconditional love has that power. That is help. That's help coming from a lousy little puppy or kitten. In other words,
okay.
no white robe,
okay.
no pulpit.
Now, in saying that, Stephen, would you also be willing to say that as sure as that animal was able to give us the assistance we need, can also a river, a tree, a coyote, an ocean, because we're all kin, can it also assist us?
Yes, but the trick is you must allow life in. We are all connected. That is
all
a
connected.
Fact. However, if you are unwilling to recognize that connection, you are severing it for you. You are not allowing life in. And as such, you are denying the power of everything and anything in the universe. And you're out there all alone.
All alone.
If you allow life in, there is no end to what can come in. There is no end to life, to the universe. And you
can
have
you explain
all
that
power
that energy
to call upon.
What does that energy do for us, and why is it important that we maintain our healthy energy balance? And if we stay disconnected for a feasible amount of time, does that cause us to become alienated toward society, and does that cause mental health to also set in? And how does this frequency help us, and how does this energy help us?
Yes, of course it does. I mean, it's a reality. If you are disconnected, if you are isolated, yeah, you are isolated from society, from life, and from your own, if you will, from your creator, from God, from healing. However, there is no limit to the changes you can make for yourself. When you allow life in, you are allowing the possibility of everything and anything, infinite possibilities. Because, you know, there are conditions, for example, Cheryl, that are considered scientifically untreatable. Now, we know that. And, but there is nothing that cannot be healed. And, you know, having had thousands and thousands and thousands of patients of my own, I can tell you that there isn't a physician in the world worth a nickel who doesn't recognize his patient's capacity to heal is of primary and paramount importance in the well-being or ill-being of that patient. So it's a question
of allowing
it in. And,
you know, I kind of think, Stephen, I think, Steve, I really think that some doctors know that it's within the capacity of that patient to heal themselves. It's already there, been innately placed there. He's only adducing it, and he's treating a symptom. But ultimately, it's left up to that person, because within innate, in their Akashic records, they have the ability to heal thyself. And I found so many people that when I worked in the hospital that truly said they were going to beat this thing, and they spoke to their higher self and told their higher self, the God that lives inside of them, that they were going to beat this thing. And yet we keep looking on the outside for some God to come in or from out of the atmosphere when he really resides in us.
Look, you know, when I was a kid, I'm old now, you know, but when I was a kid, you know, I was a fairly active kid, played a lot of ball, I broke some bones. I went and had them set by physicians, as I should. It's a good thing. However, healing is the difference between someone having some little unimportant thing and just not getting better and ultimately transitioning, and someone having something that supposedly is inevitably terminal and just saying, yeah, you want to bet, and there they are. They're out there, you know, in their sailboat now. That is what healing is.
Now, I'm going to take you off course a little bit. And I may jog you a little bit. I think you're basically in that same... You're going in the same path I'm going in, because I did hear you say something about reincarnation and what a person may come back as, because that energy doesn't die. Do you believe, Stephen, that because that energy is always recreating and we're looking at people being reincarnated, believe that there is a chance that through the reincarnation that somebody from our lineage or family could come back to assist us and aid us?
I believe in the possibility of anything. However, I believe I can invoke anything in life to help me.
Yes.
I can ask for anything, and I can plead for help. I can invite help and be open to help. Help can
Absolutely.
Come from wherever it comes from, whether it's someone mm-hmm. who used to be alive, as we define alive.
Say that again, Stephen. Can you say that again? Someone who used to do what, Stephen?
Whether it's someone who used to be alive on
listening
this planet
audience.
And no longer
is? Let me pause for a second and tell my listening audience. It is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead, and this person that we're talking about has never died. He's gone to another dimension, and for the benefit of the listening audience, when we speak of our ancestors coming back to aid and assist us, those ancestors haven't gone anywhere, and it is possible to invoke those spirits. And I think, Stephen, can you speak more on the term invoke so our listening audience can get a better understanding?
Well, you know, I'm not really an authority on invocation, Sherelle, but I can say this. The trick, as far as I understand, is this. Help is there from every source in the universe. The limitation is, are you there to receive that help, or do you close it off? It is up to you. It's all there. And you ask for the universe to help you. Now, whether that universe helps you in the form of a puppy, a kitten, an ancestor, is of no importance. You are you. You are here. You're asking for help from, if you'd like to say God, that's fine. You're asking for help from God. You don't say, you don't like, it's not like playing poker where you say, I'll see you and I'll raise you this. You know what I mean? You don't have a good enough hand to play poker with God. You ask for help, and you are open to the help when it comes. That's what you can do and what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes
and
the Stephen, way it comes.
God is not your bellhop. He's not sitting there waiting for your every request so that he can grant that to you. You have got to have a relationship with him, and that means communing with yourself and sitting still quietly and counting breath so you can know him. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, I don't know who's correct and not sure, but I take a new thought approach to God, and that would be
mm-hmm.
that You are God, I am God, we are God, all is God.
Say that again, Stephen. Please say that for the audience. We are God.
The approach to God is, you are God, I am God, we are God, all is God. And when you ask for that help, you are asking of the universe. You're asking of the entirety. I find it convenient to call that God. Some people say, I don't want to use the term God. Fine. It doesn't matter. That's just words. However, it's being open to life, if you will. That is critically important. And
Absolutely. That's
what we're talking about. And that is healing. And there are things that help you in that path. Help you with the AIM program.
And ladies and gentlemen, I want to stop for a second here to say to the listening audience, if you haven't called in yet, you need to pick up that phone and call 646-478-0270. We have Stephen Lewis in our audience. He is speaking to us from a perspective of understanding energy and how it works in our universe and how the universe assists us and aids us. And as we have been talking throughout the weeks about we are kin to everything, to the ocean, just as a drop of water is kin to the ocean, we are connected to the coyote, we're connected to every race of people, so we become one. And if you can tune in this evening, you can probably get a listening ear and get some of your questions answered. I want to ask Stephen a question. What is EMC and the AIM program? How does it work, Stephen?
Well, very simply, it's what I call and we call a spiritual holographic technology. It's spiritual because you cannot separate healing from spirituality. It's impossible. And you cannot separate healing from consciousness. But there is a technology to healing. And we use a technology to, we like to say, help you heal yourself. Some say to compel you to heal yourself. That's semantics, one way or the other. It helps you heal whatever you specifically you need to heal. And I mean specifically. For example, if you were on the AIM program, Sherelle, you would not attempt to heal an imbalance in your prostate because you know you do not have an imbalance in your prostate. You know you don't have a prostate. And my ovaries are flawless. I never deal with them. Just perfect. I'm lucky. The point being, specifically, you know what you need to heal. Now, we use this technology to make you focus on whatever it is you need to heal in your consciousness. Now, that's a big statement for this reason, Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness creates the material world.
Okay.
If you
I understand that, Stephen. You know how why I understand that? Because your frame of reference, whatever you have in your frame of reference, your home, your car, you've created that through your frame of reference and your consciousness.
Correct.
That's what we were saying earlier.
If you remove an imbalance, whether that imbalance is physical or emotional or spiritual, if you remove an imbalance from your consciousness, it cannot survive in your manifest physical particulate world. It can't survive in your body. You are cutting off.
Now, Stephen,
power
does that
source.
Mean the does that mean that the balancing of frequencies of AIM changes the DNA of our genetic code?
Absolutely so. Absolutely, of course. Can consciousness change your DNA? The answer to that has been demonstrated countless times scientifically. Yes. Consciousness affects your DNA. You know, there are experiences
Okay, so then if that's the case, then if we are coming to the doctor with an illness and, you know, he might say cancer runs in the family because our consciousness level has been raised. We've always been taught raise your consciousness level. And when you raise your consciousness, you elevate yourself, and then process of your DNA begins to allow secretions so that you are probably secreting your serotonin and melatonin, and all of a sudden you start feeling much better again. So you secrete more hormones, I would think.
Well, you can break it down to the chemicals if you wish, Sherelle, but consciousness creates an imbalance, whether it's acquired or hereditary. Because 92% of the world can say cancer runs in my family. It's just not a rare disease, cancer.
Right. In fact,
if you don't have it in your family, you are the exception. 92% those have it. However, you can heal something hereditarily just as well as you can, and as easily as you can heal something acquired. That doesn't affect it. In
now,
fact, if you heal something hereditarily, you can't. If you have a kid, you can't pass it on to your kid. It's not there.
Okay. Now, how does the balancing of the frequencies work? Can you describe that for me, Stephen? Can you give a layman an understanding of how it works?
In layman's terms, in fact, the book I wrote, Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness, is my attempt to write something in layman's terms rather than mathematics and physics, which is what I normally work in. However, it works by virtue of a redundancy of frequencies in consciousness. If you choose a frequency that you need to heal, you will keep selecting and choosing and focusing on it, and you will never stop. Hello? Well, that was weird. Are you still there? I heard music. Well, was that angels? I don't know. Am I alive? I pinched myself. I'm here. I don't know what to say because I don't know if I'm on the air.
You are.
Yeah,
you're still on the air.
Good. We're still listening to you.
I
have a question for you. Okay.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, because I was sitting there listening to you.
You will choose a frequency you need to heal, and you'll keep choosing it.
Excuse me, Stephen. I want to make sure the other person is there. Is the other person there? Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? Okay. Stephen?
Yeah.
Stephen? Okay, I don't think she's picking up the microphone. Okay, go ahead.
All right. You will focus on what you need to heal and keep, whether it's something an imbalance you've acquired this morning, last week, 20 years ago, or from your parents hereditarily. You will keep focusing until it is healed. Healed does not mean remission. Healed means it is gone. That's what healing is. There is a difference.
How does that? So in essence, when one has gained a healing in the area of cancer, then that they don't need to look for it to come back. But how does a negative frequency enter into the energy field? I mean, if that cancer does come back, does that mean that negative energy is entered in somehow?
Well, you know, I have a lot of theories about that. One of my closest friends is a guy who's got this huge church. He's a red-hot guy now. He's all over the place. That's a guy named Michael Beckwith. Now, Michael...
Oh, I know him. Okay.
Now, Michael's one of my closest friends in the world. We talk all the time. And early on, when he came into my office in L.A., we were talking about... I was looking at the holograms of the little kids in his family. I don't know if you know how well you know Michael, but there are
I don't know him that well.
Oh, there are a lot of little Beckwiths, let me tell you. When the guy ain't preaching, I can tell you what he's doing, because there's a lot of little Beckwiths. And I was looking at the holograms of the little kids, and I said, Michael, this child here has the frequency of both hereditary and active cancer. And he said, where'd that come from? So I looked, and I said, I started telling him from which parent. He said, hold it, man, don't be so linear. Now, it's not nice to call a physicist linear. But anyway, I've been called a lot of names, but linear, that's not fair. He said, I know my family, Steve, but I want to know why this child chose his hereditary cancer, because there's something I know that you don't know, Steve. I know that my nephew here, he chose his parents, and I know that he chose each thing he inherited from them. I want to know why he chose cancer, which is an interesting question. But Michael's an interesting guy, and we're brothers. And I looked and I found that this hereditary cancer frequency in his consciousness came from unresolved, unconscious, past life bitterness. So, one thing led to another,
well,
to another, and
I have
anyway.
A question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I had a question. So, Michael Beckwith, in essence, you were telling him, Mr. Chow, you saw the cancer that was it in the genes or something?
Well, the frequency was both hereditary, genetic, and active in this child's consciousness. That's what I do. I look at consciousness, because consciousness can be measured. In this huge field, that is my small contribution, the measurement of anything in units of consciousness. And so,
Stephen, what about the negative part? So you were able to see the negative frequency that was in his genes.
Well, I don't consider the frequency of cancer to be, like, you know, lots of fun. I mean, I call that a negative frequency. There are,
absolutely.
There's also the everything in life has its own footprint energetically and in consciousness.
It's carbon footprint, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, not
what
just
is the importance
carbon,
of,
but in consciousness.
Okay.
And
but what is the importance of recognizing a negative frequency in our energy field?
So you can
is it important
heal it.
To recognize it?
Yes, so you can remove it. You can heal it. I mean, that's
okay.
What we're here. We're here to heal ourselves. I would tend to say that whatever you brought with you hereditarily is a manifestation of something you have yet to resolve.
Yet
and
to
so
resolve.
Here you are,
and is that
back again. It's another chance to do so. You know, it's a, very often I've had people say to me,
and is that why we're coming back? So that's why the reincarnation, whatever you didn't complete, you're coming back.
Well,
to complete
that's
that
the way
of looking
at it. I mean, I kind of believe that. I mean, I've had people tell me, you know, I'm a very old soul. I mean, they are. They say to me, you know, I'm a very old soul, Steve. And I go, so all that means to me is you're a slow learner, right? Because you're trying again and again. When are you going to get it right? Which kind of, like, annoys them when I say that. But, you know, I'm good at that, I think. So so what was your question?
Okay. I have a question for you. How far does our energy extend? Like, when you're looking at the constellation of the stars and you can pretty much measure that, is there any measurement of where you can measure the energy range?
No, there is. Distance is a property. Energy has no properties of its own. It has no smell. It has no taste. It has no space, which is distance. It has no time. All you can say of energy is, it is. Now, we
it
live
is.
A life where each thing is unique and different. You and I are different. And your left elbow is different from your right elbow, and on and on. What creates the difference? The difference is consciousness. No energy has no distance. And consciousness is all energy is a wave. What makes that wave become a particle is consciousness. You freeze it with consciousness, and it has dimension, smell, taste, feeling, value, positively or negatively. It's you. Who do it? And
now,
it's we who
Stephen,
do it.
If we are to say that energy level, you can calibrate it and you can measure it by its frequency, what would happen if someone was to come in contact with someone with a very, very dense frequency, being a negative frequency? Does that energy absorb it? Is the higher energy able to absorb the more lower frequency of energy?
Well, you come in contact with negative frequencies every day of one sort or another, whether it's someone with a disease frequency or someone with a depression frequency or anger or bitterness or whatever it may be. And its effect upon you has to do with the degree to which you are open to all of life. Because life is far bigger than the one person you come in contact with. And if you have your relationship with life, that's the point of the hologram. If your hologram is big enough to include all of life, then that means
I'm going to ask you to pause for 1 second. We have a caller. Sure. I'd like to get that caller in there to ask the question.
Sure.
Caller, are you in the atmosphere? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Caller?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess they had not queued that caller in yet. Let me check the other caller here. Let me see. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Well, I can hear someone there, Sherelle.
Hello? Caller? You're in the air. Hello? I guess they've gone out. I can't get them to say anything. Their hand is up, but they're not saying anything. Okay, well, we're going to go on. And I want to just say to the listening audience, we're in the audience talking with Stephen Lewis, the famous Stephen Lewis. I became very interested in what Stephen was doing because he was working with families. When I learned that he was working with helping families, and especially ill children, I was even more determined to speak with him. I'm so glad that I could interview him today. And, Stephen, we have some more questions that we'd like to ask you. And I wanted to know if you could possibly tell me, Stephen, the balancing. We talked about the balancing, and now that I know that the negative energy doesn't change anything because we live with negative energy, how does the balancing of frequencies work? So we talked a little bit about that, but I would like to know, you said that, well, let's see. You said that the frequency of, I wanted to ask a question about TB, and there's some controversy about the TB. For example, TB is beginning to be a frequent problem. And is that because of some vaccination that we might have received and the frequency and is prevailing now?
Well, I don't know. The frequency of tuberculosis is almost as old as history. I mean, you know, it has been with us for as long as anyone can remember or read about. So there's nothing new about that. There are frequencies with us that don't exist historically, like HIV. But TB is ancient. HIV is not ancient, for example.
Hello? I think that listener is there now. Let me try to see if I can get him in here. Listener, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
What is your question, listener?
I want to ask, how does energy affect our health?
Well, energy affects our health in that everything in life is a frequency. You can heal whatever negative frequencies you have. And in so doing, you become healthy. Healthy is simply a lack of negative frequencies. And it's a lack of things that obstruct your life force. And that is something that we all can do. We can heal. Look, this is not news. What is news, in a sense, is the technology that I speak of at EMC Squared. It's a holographic healing technology. It helps you heal yourself. But healing sure is not something new. It's as old as humanity.
I want to sneak one in there before we lose you here and have to shut everything down. I want to ask you, what about the physical and mental, emotional state? Does frequency take its toll on the physical and mental state, and does it affect it in any way?
Well, everything is a frequency. Every emotion has a unique frequency. Every physical aspect of you has its unique frequency, for better or for worse. You know, I mean, It is nothing that does not have its unique frequency. However, it's up to you to heal these unique frequencies. The point is this, and this is what sometimes confuses people. I have said countless times, only you can heal yourself. But at the same time,
I have a question.
You heal yourself. Let me finish the sentence if I can. You heal yourself by calling upon the entire universe to help you. So
okay.
It's kind of a play
now we did mention that earlier. The universe is here to aid us, and I wanted our listening audience to know more about the vaccine because I've had people asking about do vaccines and surgery and medicine, colds and flus, induce negative influences on our fields? And I don't know. I'm almost led to believe it does, but I want your opinion on that.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm not permitted to speak about medical substances. I'm not permitted to say that, no, never have any vaccines, or yes, have vaccines. That is not my bailiwick. I'm permitted to make a choice for myself, but whether I use them or not, I basically count on and rely upon healing. And so far, so good, you know. I mean, it's like I am a geriatric, hard carrying, but I can't. Ultimately, you must understand this. What you do with your life is your decision. What I do with my life is my decision. The point is to be open to things. Now, I can't tell anyone what they should or shouldn't do.
And, Stephen, if you will pause for 1 second, I think we have a caller that would like to ask a question, and we want to get that person in there. Okay. Caller, you're in the air.
Yes, hello?
Hello.
Yes, you're in the air.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I can
yes,
hear you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, what is the one thing we, the reader, can do to make our energy a little healthier on a daily basis?
Well, I find, for me, the most important thing every day is to meditate. I take time out every day to meditate on my connection with everything in the universe. Now, that is what I do. Now, on the other hand, I am in the AIM program. I was the first person ever on it, which means I'm on a program that forces me to take note of whatever negative frequencies I have, whether they're hereditary or acquired, and to focus on healing them for as long as I must, which means until they are healed. But outside of that, you know, it's how you live. For me, meditation is critically important because life is, there's just so many distractions, and I need to take the time to, if you'll allow me to say it, to reacquaint myself with the universe, with God.
That is a recommendation. So you would recommend, Stephen, that we would have some type of relationship with the universe. But how much does it depend upon our willingness to let go of these negative things? Like, have you ever heard of a person that had thinking, and they were always talking negative, and they always confirmed or did affirmations of what they spoke into existence, and they kept speaking these things into existence. So how much do we have to be willing to let go in order for our frequencies levels to stay at a high level?
We must be absolutely willing to let go of that which is negative. But we also must be willing to allow the universe in to help us heal these things.
Okay.
It's not something that I heal myself, but I've got the power of everything and everyone back of me. I mean, this is not a new idea. You know, I mean, if you look at the New
and
Testament.
Stephen, if you would pause for 1 minute,
sure.
I'm gonna have this caller ask you a question. He's been waiting for a while.
Sure.
Caller, you're in the air. Welcome to Care to Read. Hello? Okay. Well, I see that they're waiting to give them the hand up. But listeners, if you are in the air and you have a question, we urge you to get your hand up so we can see you. I can see you sitting in the audience, but your hand has to go up in order for you to ask your question. We have Stephen Lewis in the audience speaking to us this evening. He is from EMC. he works directly with a church, and we have been talking with him a little bit about the church. And, Stephen, I had a question. Was it very difficult for you to get the support of the church endorsement to be called a church? And has it been a problem in the past for people who are connecting to your church? And if so, what are some of the problems that you've been running into by calling yourself a church?
We have no problem. We consider it is the Energetic Matrix Church of Consciousness. And we have only one thing we do, and that is our one sacrament, which is our technology, our spiritual technology, to help people heal themselves. There are countless things to help you heal yourself. I believe every church, every spiritual organization, whether it calls itself a church or not, is concerned with helping people heal themselves. That is part and parcel and fundamental to spirituality. And that is what we do, and we help.
And Stephen, do you think that we as human beings have the ability and capability of connecting to be a healer? Because if we say everything in the universe assists us, do you also believe that the human being in and of itself can connect to help those that they are close to by connecting with them and assisting them? So it's no longer just them finding it within themselves to heal, but they can also seek out not only a puppy but a human being to connect with for healing.
The answer is yes to both questions as far as I'm concerned, but you must be open to it. It's that simple. You know, and that is
and
part
we're,
of...
And we're coming up on that 7:30 hour, and I just want to make sure I say this to you, Stephen, in the event that our lights go out. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Stephen Lewis in the audience. He's been with us now for the whole hour speaking on his book, Sanctuary, and he's also been talking to us about EMC. It is a church, ladies and gentlemen, and it is a bona fide church.
Let me say something
us,
if I can interrupt you, Sherelle.
I wanted Stephen to take these
before
last few minutes to talk to us. I wanted him to take the last few minutes to talk to us about his agency, where you can find the services and the type of service he offers.
Yeah.
Stephen, can you help us out?
Sure. Our website, you know, there's a lot of information on the web, and it's aimprogram.com, aimprogram.com. And if you want to know more about it, you can give us a call at 877-500-3622. That's a toll-free call, 877-500-3622. No one's going to try and sell you anything. If you have any questions, you want information sent to you, we'll send it. Because you can't try and sell the idea of helping people heal themselves. People get it or they don't. And if you want to know, we'll tell you what we've learned and tell you, you know, what we do to help. And then it is, as it always has been, up to you. And
Stephen, I wanted to say to you, to the listening audience, Stephen has been very helpful in helping children that have disabilities and various different diseases. And I was very, very interested in his work he's done with children. And Stephen, can you talk a little bit, if you might, before we leave out of here, about putting them on the tray and the procedure of the fact that they are on a tray and the procedure that you use for actually doing the EMC?
Well, we've had some extraordinary success with kids with autism and also with Down syndrome. And I got a very clear-cut message saying, if anyone has that frequency, just make it free to them. That's all. So we do. I mean, you get a message like that. If I get a message like that, I listen to it. And so we have thousands of kids with Downs with autism on the trays. And we have rooms full of thank you letters. And, of course, emails don't take up any room, do they? But it's been spectacular. And so it's just what we do. I mean, I've been given a gift. I've been lent.
Okay.
A gift to help.
Now, Stephen, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that every human being has that gift? And I'm going to take you to the scriptures where it says we all are called to be evangelists. And somewhere within our innate ability, we all are called to be healers. And this is what most healers teach, that we all are called to be healers. And the reason why I say that is that I'm a school teacher, but yet I was used as a vehicle, an avatar, if you will, where you can have energy flow through you. And I was used in a hospital for 5 or 6 years to be a healer. Yet I don't proclaim to be a healer, but my body and my vehicle was used as a vehicle for frequency to flow through. And I'm saying that because I spent many years being a science teacher and knew about frequency and didn't understand my healing until I learned more about frequency and found that everyone can be a healer and they all can lend their vehicles for energy to flow through. And
well,
we have a caller on the line, and I'm
going to
get
to him
in here.
We're all connected to each other, Cheryl.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
We are all connected to each other. I don't see myself as an evangelist. And, you know, I believe that I can heal me, and if I need help, and I do, I welcome any help I need. What I believe I am is a messenger.
Stephen, if you don't
messengers.
Mind, I want to get this question in. Hello? Caller, you in the air.
Hello?
Hello?
You're in the air.
Yes. How do you help the kids that have autism on the trays?
Autism is a syndrome composed of many frequencies. Every frequency involved in autism is something people can heal. These and all these kids, one by one, they heal the components. Autism has imbalances that are acquired and imbalances that are hereditary. But there's nothing in the world that cannot be healed. It's just not one little thing. But so what? If there's 10 things, if there's 10 things, then it means someone autistic has 10 things to heal. And, you know, that's just 10 out of how many? Whatever it is, it is. There is no limitation to healing. There are limitations to diagnosis and to treatment and to curing. Healing is without limitation. There is no limit other than that which you impose upon yourself. Life does not.
And I believe that, Stephen. I can turn with you on that because I don't think God is a respecter of person. And out of your reference, are you doing the work? And truly, you have to cooperate in the healing process. And just as prayer is a behavior modification and meditation is a behavior modification, it's designed to change something. And when you're in agreement with this, now, what happens if the person that is on the tray is not in agreement with this and he's not on one accord? Does he have to help in the situation, or does she have to help for this to happen, or does it happen by virtue of osmosis?
Well, it's not osmosis. You know, people can say what they want to say. There are things in life called instincts, and an instinct is there. Whether you agree or acknowledge it or not, it's that simple. It's just like a swallow doesn't say, I think I'll pass on Capistrano. It's an instinct. It's going to go. And your instinct is called, we have an instinct called survival. And everything in us wishes to survive, to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And without that, this program wouldn't work. And healing wouldn't work. But survival instinct is a given instinct. We all have it. Whether we acknowledge it or not doesn't matter. And that is what I count on for me and for you and for all of us to select whatever balancing frequencies it takes to heal whatever you and I specifically, individually, need to heal. And it is
and
that
a caller had the question, Stephen. He asked you about what do we need to do, and you gave a recommendation that we are to try to reconnect ourselves back to nature and the universe.
Correct.
And in doing that and reconnecting back to nature and the universe, and now that we have the oil spills and all of the various different things going on with our ecosystem, would you say that in our next millennium that we, in order for us to be in right standing and be able to reconnect, that we are going to have to play a part in connecting with nature to get it back in balance again?
Well, I believe all these things you're talking about, whether it's the oil spills, whether it's the economy, all these things are symptoms of our being divorced from life, our being separated from life. Just as anything you read about in the front page of the paper and television, it's we are at odds with life. We are separated from each other. We are exclusionary. We must understand, we must live in, as inclusionary beings. And as such, we cannot do something that destroys the only thing that can support our lives. Make no mistake about it, Jarrell. The planet will survive. The question we have is, will we survive on the planet?
And you have the last word from our guest that we will survive, and this planet is going to survive. There's nothing new under the sun, ladies and gentlemen, and we have to know this, that we are going to survive. This planet will not be destroyed for our lack of commitment for anything we haven't done. Because of our connectedness, there are still those that are praying, still those that are interceding and meditating, where we have a chance to bring this planet back to balance again. I'd like to thank you, Stephen Lewis, and thank you for lending us your time and being a part.
I'm honored to be on, and I thank you so much, Sherelle.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you. And whenever you are able to, please come back and join us again, Stephen. And it's been a great thing talking with you. Thank you so much. And we're on our way to Canaan land, people. We're on our way to Canaan land, okay? So if you will please call in, and we do have the recording will be on demand. But if you want to call in, you can listen to the recording. It'll be available for you. And to those of you who have been non-believers about understanding invoking, I'd like to reiterate, yes, you can invoke what it is you want to happen in your life. Yes, you can request assistance from the universe and from your prior loved ones who have gone on in transition. You can do that. And we're on our way to Canaan. Thank you very much, Stephen. We got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. We've gone over the time, but we've had good company, and we'd like to thank Stephen for being a part of helping us to transition. You have a great weekend, and most of all, make sure you're vibrating on a high frequency. We want to keep our frequency up high. I'm on my way to Canaan land. Don't you hinder me. All right, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you hinder me. Have a great week.